you go numb, you don't, you know, still doesn't. And I don't think it still has hit me, really. Like, it's, it still almost doesn't seem real. But yeah, it took a little while to sink in. The last time I'd felt that way was, I'm a little older than you. Reggie Lewis died, when Reggie Lewis passed away in Boston. And back then it was,
there was no social media back then.
And it was just keep the news channel on until they come back on again. And basically stress, you know, just pace in the room the whole time, have no idea what's happening, wait for the, you know, 11 o'clock news or whatever special report news to come on. That was way worse too, because the information took so long and there were so many conflicting reports. But it was one of those moments where you just remember exactly what you're doing, where you were, and just kind of those emotions you'll never forget on moments like that.
We're going to pause for station identification. You're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford, Tusk Reform Radio.
Hey, this is Scruffy Wallace, the Dropkick Murphys, and you're listening to WMFO Medford.
This is Satomi.
And this is Ed from Deerhoof. Yeah.
You are listening to
WMFO in Medford.
Yeah!
We're going to pause for 60 seconds for a PSA brought to you by here at 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford.
It only takes a minute to find out if you may have prediabetes. And you can do it at doihaveprediabetes.org. But you're probably not going to. Nope. I'm sure you've got a perfectly good excuse. Kids, work. I get it. You're busy. So what better time than now? Let's begin. Raise one finger if you're a man. Ladies, none yet. Oh, count in your head if you're driving. Now, three more fingers for everyone over 60, two over 50, one over 40, one more if you're not physically active, another finger if anyone in your family has type 2 diabetes, another if you've got high blood pressure. If you're overweight, raise another finger, two if you're very overweight, and three if you're really overweight. You've just taken the world's first audio prediabetes test. And if you're holding up five or more fingers, visit doihaveprediabetes.org or talk to your doctor. There's no excuse, because prediabetes can be reversed.
Brought to you by the Ad Council and its Prediabetes Awareness Partners.
I'm Joe Perry.
And Steven Tyler from Aerosmith, here for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. Yeah, you know we love it when the music does the talking.
And you know, the music stops when someone gets killed.
So never, 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 never let someone you know get behind the wheel if they've been drinking. So keep it real, keep it real. Friends, don't let friends drive drunk.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Hour number two of the final edition of the Shukri Wright Show, 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. Joined in studio with Mike Cohen, special guest on this final show here at 91.5 FM WMFO in Medford. As we have been just reflecting on some of the most indelible stories of my time here in Boston, and as well as really here at WMFO, which has played such a significant part of my life. And on this final show, with less than an hour left, I just wanted to take the time for all of you who have taken the time to just listen to the show and listen to the dialogue and the conversations that have taken place since then. Thank you. Thank you all from the bottom of my heart. As I bring Mike back into the fray here, as we continue on this program. Now, Kobe's death was one that I remember that entire week. I was just, I'm not gonna lie, I was very emotional that entire week. Like, multiple times that week, I broke down to, like, in tears. Like, it just hit everybody. Yeah. It didn't matter who you are, where you, it just hit you, because this was a massive tragedy. You know, like, and as well as this other seven people who perished in that helicopter crash as well. But it was such a it was such a time, and I remember this was now we're going into Super Bowl week.
Yeah.
Super Bowl week, like, this was just mostly the conversation. Yeah, the game between the Chiefs and Niners was, no, it was great, but that's all people
could. Took a back seat, though.
It really did.
The
I remember.
The star of the game just passing like that.
Yeah. Even so much so the NFL literally did a moment of silence. I don't know if you remember this. The NFL did a moment of silence to honor Kobe and literally like right before the game.
Of course, yeah.
And I remember, you know, the game itself and obviously how that all ended and then talking about it, moving through the month of February, and we're just carrying on as life is, you know, proceeding and, you know,
That was COVID too, so you had a lot of time to really stay at home and think about
it. I'm going to push you.
Yeah.
I'm going to push you into that cubbyhole right there. But we're moving to February. March comes around and now we started hearing about COVID. We started hearing about it, but nobody took it seriously. Nobody. And if you remember, I remember everyone's like, okay, this is just another virus. Like this is basically like I think SARS. Like it was like, okay, we'll be fine. It's not a big deal. Nothing to worry about. Until March 11th. Oh, boy. March 11th, 2020. That one was a doozy. That night was a doozy. Because I don't know how many times I shared this story on like the radio airwaves or even in general. But by that point, it was late evening. I'm heading towards the Garden for a shift because the Celtics were slated to play that Friday night.
Yeah.
The Bruins were away. And I'm on the phone and I'm talking to someone. And I just remember I see the notification, Rudy Gobert.
Oh, is that when he was touching the microphones?
Yeah. I remember it well. I remember we had got the news, and I was like, Rudy Gobert tested positive for COVID. And oh, by the way, NBA season suspended indefinitely. So I got inside the Garden. Everything's already set up. And I told everybody the news because they were out on the floor.
Yeah.
Most of them were not even on their phones. They were just like, "What do you mean the season? They're shutting down the season over a cold, man. This country's gotten soft." I'm like, "Guys, I don't think this is a laughing matter at all." And little did we know. You know that video on Twitter where you see like that guy says, "See, as you can see, the more you f around, the more." That was literally all of us. Literally. The more we effed around, the more we found out that this was no laughing matter. So I worked the overnight shift from 10 p.m. to 6:30 a.m. the next day. Now it's March 12th.
Mm.
And I just remember, distinctly remember, I get out, I clock out, I hop on the T to go back to Brighton where I was living at the time.
Yeah.
And I remember distinctly thinking, shoot, this is about to be a major story, and you're going to want to be on the radio like to talk about it. And I'll never, ever forget it. I mean, seriously, I will never, ever forget it. And the thing that I remember most is that when you have this premonition, it's like your body has a way of telling you that, yo, something massive is about to go down.
Just feel it inside you.
I tried to go to sleep for a few hours and I couldn't sleep.
Yeah.
And then I got an email saying that, hey, we have a slot open. We'd like for you to come in and do the show. I said, absolutely, I would.
Mm.
I took an Uber from where I was living in Brighton at the time to the radio station here. Went on the air. I'll never, ever forget this. And the thing that I can't help but to think about is the fact that I get on the air and I sit down and I'm trying to make sense of everything that's happening, and it's hard. And at this point, all I can think of is the NBA season has been suspended indefinitely. We don't know how to exactly process this as sports fans.
Yeah.
But at this point, it became clear that this was far more bigger than sports.
Mm.
And I'm on the airwaves as the news began to trickle in. And I'm trickling, and I'm literally breaking the news live on the air, saying that, hey, MLB just announced that they are suspending the baseball season indefinitely. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
March Madness tournaments, canceled.
Canceled, yeah.
Like, everything, Mike, everything was literally in slow motion. Yeah. And I'm on the air sitting here, like, trying to, you know, like, trying to, like,
process break,
like,
it,
process
right?
it and, like, nothing we have ever seen or experienced before. And I just remember having to go through 2 hours on that show talking about it. And then by the time it was all said and done, I was tired.
Yeah.
When I say that I was tired emotionally. Mm. I get out around Government Center, and I go for a lengthy walk. And at this point, everything is starting to, like, and I mean,
like, hit you?
Starting to, like, yeah. you know, hit me, and I'm like, damn, what am I gonna do now? And then all of a sudden, when I tell you, I get that email. It was a dreadful email, and one I'll never forget. We're shutting down operations for the foreseeable future. No more in-station shows. Wow. And that's when I was like,
that's right when your career's kind of jumping, getting started.
No, that wasn't the point.
Yeah.
Like, that wasn't even that. Oh, I haven't even hit that point yet.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. And that was like, oh my God. At this point, now it's starting to hit me emotionally. Like, what am I going to do?
Yeah.
Like, how am I going to handle this? And this was something that, when I tell you, this was one of those times where, for the life of me, all I can think of was, how am I going to, like, make the most of this time? All this free time that I now have, and it just like everybody else, and I come into the station Friday, March 13th.
Yeah.
I get here early because I knew that this was it.
Yeah.
And then at that point, and I don't know how much of this you remember, but we turn around, and I did the show 1 hour.
Yeah.
And I just remember just having this feeling of, man, everything is just crashing down. Like, yeah. What am I gonna do? When I was done with that show, I just remember, ooh. I was just emotional, a lot of different things.
Just shocked. Yeah.
And Saturday rolls around now. It's St. Patrick's Day weekend. I don't know if you remember this, but you remember those long lines in Southie?
Sure.
Those long lines up and down West Broadway.
Yeah.
People were trying to go to the bars because they knew that a shutdown was coming.
This was it, yeah.
This was it.
Yeah.
And it was like, I'm seeing this on social media, and I'm like, nope, not me.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna be the one that's gonna die from this.
For
nope.
Sure. For sure.
Because we didn't know anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
But it was like, yeah, this is a horrible idea if I've ever seen one.
Yeah.
No, thank you. So when the shutdown happened, it was surreal. It was eerie. It was extremely eerie. What are your early memories from that time? And again, like, we're not turning this into a political conversation, but
sure.
Just reflecting on some of the major stories of the time that I've had here. COVID absolutely is probably number one.
Yeah.
COVID. What are your memories from the beginning of that time period?
It was super eerie. I mean, no one was working, no one was going out, no one was. I mean, it was even then going to the supermarket was.
Oh God, that was it was.
Yeah.
It was dangerous.
So it was eerie because there was no one outside, no one doing things. And it was very eerily quiet. And I compare it to, I had only experienced kind of that feeling one other time, and it was that day when the Marathon bombers were on the loose, and because I was living in Waltham, everything was locked down. Nobody was going outside. You could step outside and you could pretty much hear a pin drop.
Mm-hmm.
And I got those same feelings, like there's almost no life outside, and also to know that there'd be no sports, no no seeing your buddies at work in the office.
Oh yeah,
no going to eat with your friends. It was just a really eerie, just kind of Armageddon-like feeling where it just, like, okay, like, life has just stopped as we know it. And it was just so strange. It was really strange.
Speaking of strange, you want to know what my first moment of, and again, those of you that are just tuning in to the final edition of the Shuki Wright Show, talking about some of the biggest stories that has transpired here in fact, frankly, the world since I joined WMFO in 2019, COVID being chiefly on top of that list. The first strange moment for me was the first time I had to make a run to Target. And the Target at Kenmore, right by Fenway.
Yeah.
I walk into Target and I'm like, all right, I need the essentials.
Yeah.
You couldn't find water. You couldn't find toilet paper.
Right. And they would limit you to
buy certain, and they would limit
hand
you.
And
you were limited because it was like people were like, "Oh my God, we need to go get toilet papers so that we don't crap our brains out." Oh my God, you moron! You realize your COVID is not going to make you have diarrhea in your pants, right? You realize that you just won't be able to breathe. As someone who had COVID, I know.
Did you really?
Omicron. Blame, remember that?
Yeah.
The variant, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That one got me. Not the initial one, thankfully.
Yep.
But Omicron got me in the fall of 2021.
Yeah.
So, yeah, not fun. So, walking into that Target, I'm just smiling, laughing to myself. I'm like, man, I'm walking there with my wool scarf around around my mouth, tied directly from behind my neck. I took photos of myself. I'm like, man, this has got to be something. This is something else.
Mm.
And I remember having conversations with my late Uncle Reese at that time. And it was just like, he was like, my concern is, how are you?
Yeah.
I'm good. How are you? Because this is different, Uncle Reese. Like, I'm walking around with mask and, like, I didn't have a mask, but I had the scarf and, literally just, like, don't walk outside that house because COVID may be like, hi, buddy, I'm waiting for you. And I was living with roommates at the time, so it was like, ooh, I don't trust y'all.
Yeah.
Nah, y'all both stay the hell away
from
me.
Lock yourself in your room.
Yeah, stay away from me, please. So
do you remember, too, it brought the worst out of people where people were buying up all of the disinfectant wipes and selling them on Amazon for like 10 times the price.
That was the classic example of capitalism. If you didn't know what it was at that time, that was it. Oh, you have a need, going to pay extra.
Exactly.
So I remember that, and then getting through that whole thing. And then also, man, this one's going to hit differently, but this one I actually remember, George Floyd.
Yeah.
At that point, I was doing radio shows remotely from home. It was pre-recorded. George Floyd happens. And the thing that I remember most at that time was when it was happening, or when the aftermath of his murder, the protest that was happening.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember, as I just take my time to just recollect my thoughts here, I remember just feeling angry, like genuinely angry, like rage filled. And I remember being asked on my podcast at the time, the Shuki Wright podcast, which you can find on iHeartRadio and wherever you get your podcast. I remember I had a guest on. It was former NHL player Patrick Sullivan. He was on the podcast. It was that episode from early June of 2020, like during the pandemic.
Yep.
And I remember him asking me, like, shoot, like, how are you feeling, honestly? And I just went into this lengthy, I wouldn't say it was a rant, but I had a lot of pent-up rage. Okay. And just the demonstrations that were happening here in Boston, and then also the unforgettable night of the riots here. Because I remember I was down in Quincy when it was happening. And my bro, him and his girlfriend at the time, we were watching it unfold on TV, and I had to go back into Boston to go back to my place in Brighton at the time. And they were like, "You're not traveling in this." So I'm like, "Dude, I gotta go. Like, dude, stay here." And it turned out to be probably the wisest decision that night, because I don't know how much of it you remember.
I remember the looting.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, the looting, like the looting and the rioting.
Yeah.
Like, it was so bad. I remember down Boylston, it was pretty bad. But the area around the Commons going towards the financial district, that was equally as bad.
Free for all.
Like, it was free for all, right. And at that point, it became abundantly clear that traveling was not the best idea at all. And I was like, you know what? I better listen. I'll just stay. Mm-hmm. So I stayed the night. And that whole period of, you know, waiting for sports to come back, and the sports finally did come back, it was by far the most unique time of our lives. Mm-hmm. In terms of when sports finally came back, it came back in terms of the bubble. Then the first league to really institute that successfully was the NHL. And then the NBA followed suit.
Yeah.
You know, watching the Stanley Cup playoffs in Toronto and Edmonton bubbles.
Yeah.
And as well as like the NBA playoffs, the bubbles down in Orlando.
I'm still not over how the Bruins got screwed that year with the seating.
But see, I'm not even concerned about
we're talking bigger things here.
Like, I'm not concerned about the seating. And even at the time, I said to myself, listen, you got to understand something. This is not your regular time. Mm-hmm. It's not. Yeah, we were the President's Trophy team that season, but we're talking about a global pandemic, and everything was basically from a reset.
Yeah.
But that's neither here or there. But the biggest thing that I take away from that was, in terms of like the return of sports, the NFL, the NFL came a little later, but the NHL playoffs, the NBA playoffs, the baseball COVID-shortened season, and so forth. And I just remember, it just looked so weird seeing like the cardboard cutouts of people, and as well as seeing like other things that you never thought you'd see in your lifetime, right. But we lived through it.
When would you ever see Fenway Park empty? I mean, even
never.
When you have bad teams, they pack their place up.
I got a story for you.
Yeah.
Opening day 2020.
Yeah.
I remember it was such a big deal that at that point it was like, we have live sports. Yeah. Finally.
And that's the thing too. It made you appreciate like
You appreciate the it even daily more. Yeah. Oh my God, yeah.
I didn't know what to do with myself every day. It was awful.
Me and the boys, we actually went down to Fenway. Obviously, no one was at the game except for that one moron who found a way to scale. Yeah,
the Green Monster.
The Green Monster, and until this day, I'm like, how?
How did you get in there?
How did you get in there? But I'm not gonna even go any further with that. But I remember we got down to Fenway, and people were just wanting to just get out of the house, and we went to like different spots to just watch and just listen to what was happening, blah blah blah. And I just remember just feeling, man, what a weird time.
Yeah.
And it was so weird. And then after that, later on, like, you know, as things began to like get or become a bit more normal, and I'm using air quotes here, I just remember thinking like, man, like none of this is ever going to be like the same. And then after that, going into 2021, 2022, I just remember this was a time period in which that at that point, for me personally, I'd gone through a lot personally in my life.
Really?
Going through homelessness, going through like the trials and tribulations that I went through in 2021, losing my my now late Uncle Reese, and then losing like my stepmom just less than about less than 2 months later to COVID, no less.
Oh my gosh.
And then as well as like the death of my other uncle, my dad's brother. So it was the end of a very trying time for me personally. So I was dealing with a lot mentally, and I had a step. I just needed to take a break.
Yeah.
And by the time I returned to, you know, to doing radio and podcasts and so forth, at this point, as I said, like, I was already building a name for myself. At that point, I started doing videos and so forth. And I just had so much fun with it.
Yeah.
I just enjoyed it. And I think that in itself is one of the things that I'll always remember is when you're going through difficulty and you're going through hardship, it's okay to step away.
Mm.
You have to put you first.
Yeah.
You have to. Because if you don't, your body and your mind will let you know, and there's a very dear price to pay. Mental health is truly no joke. It's just not. And in more ways than one, I've talked about this on my platform where, like, I've been very vocal about my battles with anxiety.
Mm.
Been very open about it. And I think during my time in Boston, like, I've gone through a lot.
It's funny because you seem like the epitome of just cool, calm, coolness, relaxation.
You don't, and that's the thing. You don't know what the hell someone's dealing with.
You never know what people are going through.
You don't know. You truly do not know. Mm. That's why, and I have an understanding now based on how people perceive me in terms of like, oh, they see this guy. This guy is clearly like a public figure, whatever.
Yeah.
You don't know what that person's dealing with.
Yeah.
You don't know.
You never know what's going on behind, behind
so
the closed doors.
When I had my first anxiety attack, and I'm talking about this because it's part of my story, part of my journey in the 6 years I'm being here, and even within the last four, the first time it happened, I remember I got off at BU Central because for some strange reason I was craving insomnia cookies.
Okay.
I was just craving.
Thought you're gonna say Taco Bell. I don't know.
No, I don't deal with that crap. That's nasty. Yeah, it is. Taco Bell is gross. But anyway, I was craving insomnia cookies, and I grabbed it, and I was like, "Yeah, this is fire."
What are insomnia cookies?
Insomnia cookies?
Yeah.
You don't know what insomnia cookies are?
No, I don't. I thought you said insomnia.
Insomnia. You don't know?
No. What is it?
Stephanie, if you're listening, can you please call into the show at 855-915-9636 because your boyfriend
I'm
clearly
missing out?
Yeah, because I'm actually appalled that you don't know what insomnia cookies are.
I'm trying to stay away from cookies, okay?
Oh, you're trying to stay away. Is that why you don't know why that is?
Why I'm staying away? Because if I'm going to be famous like you and be a TV personality
famous.
Or whatever, I'm trying to
I'm not famous.
You know, not get, you know, I'm not trying to go over 250. So
I'm not famous.
Yeah.
But
humble man. I like that.
No, seriously. I don't think myself as famous. But anyway, listen. You have to recognize when you have that moment where you're sitting on the train and you're just like, everything is fine, and then all of a sudden, everything is not fine.
Mm.
And it just hit me. It just literally hit me out of nowhere.
Yeah.
Just like a punch in the face. And I'm panicking like I'm going to die.
Yeah.
And that was like the scariest.
Terrifying. Yeah.
It was terrifying because I've never felt anything like that in my life.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yo. I wanted to run up to the operator and say, please stop the train, stop the train, stop the train.
Yeah.
And that would have created even a bigger problem. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, yeah, let me not. So I try to stay as calm as I possibly can.
Yeah.
And then it was happening again on the red line.
Did something trigger it?
More of that in a moment.
Yeah.
I get on the red line because at this point I'm like, I got to get me to the hospital. And I get to MGH and I check in, And at this point, I'm still feeling the effects. I was so tense. I was just nervous. I'm like, yo, yeah. I don't like how I feel. So the doctor literally runs through tests and everything. And it was like, dude, thankfully you don't have any health issues. Yeah. But based on everything that we've ran through, you had an anxiety attack. Do you deal with anxiety? I'm like, yeah, you had an anxiety attack. Are you okay? And it was the first time I broke down.
Yeah.
Like, I broke down heavily because, remember, this is June of 2020.
Yeah.
We're in the midst of the pandemic, and everything's happening with George Floyd, the George Floyd protests. It just became this one big combustible where it was like, wham! It just all
everything
hit me.
Everything combined to kind
it
of
just
hit the head.
It just hit the head. Yeah, and I'm like, man, damn.
Yeah.
It was a lot then, but I don't want people to think that because of what you see on social media and on the internet that this person has it out easy. You don't know a damn thing.
Mm.
You don't know a damn thing. For sure. And when I say that, I say that as someone who, as I said, like, I know I've gone through a lot the last 6.5 years living in Boston.
Mm.
But I'm also proud of the trials and tribulations that I've had to overcome. I'll share with you a story here. I want to take it back to the fall of 2017, winter of 2017-18. I'm living in Rosendale at this point, and it's the 1 year I lived in Rosendale. Great neighborhood, but if you're a person who relies on the T, not ideal. Unless if you have a car, but then bless your heart. But anyway, I remember being out of a job back then, like didn't have a full time job.
We've all been there. Actually, I'm there now.
I didn't have a full time job. All I had was the garden.
Yeah.
Working as part of the bull gang.
Oh really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Wow. And that was what kept me going in terms of working there, and as well as just keeping me sane, because I was going insane.
Sure.
And there were days I remember I didn't have any money at all.
Yeah.
So all I could do was go to the supermarket, get me those packets of those the cheddar the cheddar broccoli mac and cheese from Noor's. It's called Noor's.
Yeah.
And make that with like vegetarian bush baked beans.
Okay.
And that would be my lunch or dinner.
Yeah.
I just remember thinking about those days of those kind of that kind of struggle where I was really going through it. Because, see, here's the thing. People love to broadcast all the good everything's good and dandy.
Look at all those influencers.
Nah. let's talk about the real. Yeah. Let's talk about the struggle. Because people need to hear that. And amazingly enough, by you talking about it and sharing your story, you don't know who's listening. You don't know who's helping. And you're like, you know what? Wow. You went through, you understand. Like, no, I get it. Because I was broke.
Yeah.
I didn't have it. And I'm eating baked beans, like the mac and cheese.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, I was making like maybe chicken or like ground chicken and the pasta.
Bread. A lot of bread,
like
keep you full.
Just yeah. So, I share that because I remember those days so distinctly. I was limited in terms of what I could or couldn't do, and I'm talking about like I couldn't really go out. I couldn't really do much of anything.
Yeah.
And all I kept thinking was, I got this garden job. At least I'll have some sort of money in my pocket. And I just kept going. And then I had I got the full-time job working elsewhere apart from the garden for IST management. I remember this was January of 2018. Now, this is right before Super Bowl 52.
Okay.
Got the job. And I'm like the happiest camper in the world. I'm like, you know what? At least I'll get money every 2 weeks.
Yeah.
I'll be able to at least make sure that I'm straight, I can take care of myself, blah, blah, blah. I'm happy. I'm chilling.
Get those insomnia cookies?
Nah. There was no insomnia cookies back then just yet. Just yet. And everything's going smooth until April of 2018. I am let go from that job. I was fired.
Yeah.
And that broke me because it was like, I just got this job.
Yeah.
And I was pissed. And I just remember at that time, and I didn't know it, but this was the start of 6 months of not having a full-time job. And I was psychologically just destroyed.
Yeah.
Because prior to me getting that job, I was without a full-time job for 6 months.
Yep.
And then have that job with IST for 2.5 months. And then being fired again, fired, mm-hmm. and then not having another full-time job for another 6 months.
I have a similar story to you.
That's a lot to deal with. Like, so that period of time, I'm not gonna lie, it broke me.
Yeah.
It definitely broke me, like, as a man. And to the men that are out there, when you're going through that low period in your life, because I went through mine, and God knows, God knows, when you're going through that low period in your life, you've got to keep going. Yeah. Because I remember those days distinctly where I would wake up, I would go to the Boston Public Library at Copley.
Yeah.
That classic section of the library where you're walking right off of Dartmouth in Back Bay. Walk in there for maybe 5-6 hours out of the day, or maybe even longer, applying for jobs, just anything.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Yeah.
You said you had a similar story. I actually want to hear yours.
Yeah. So I January, I worked in IT.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I did by trade. Got laid off. And I sunk into a real dark place. Kind of similar to what you were saying about, you know, when you didn't know what you're going to do, you didn't know where you're going to get, you know, afford your next meal. And I don't know what it was, by the grace of God, because I wasn't posting any of the content or doing any mm-hmm. of the reels, the cool stuff that I'm doing now. I did have some videos I'd post every now and then of, you know, meeting. I would always like to meet some athletes, make them laugh, make myself laugh. But I'd only get like 10 views, or, you know, I wasn't really broadcasting for the world.
Mm-hmm.
And just out of I don't know what kind of divine intervention it was, because I was in just a low, low, dark place.
Mm.
But this guy named Larry, who runs IE Sports Radio, which is a small, small radio station out of California,
mm-hmm.
out of the blue on Twitter, I get a DM, and he asked, how would you feel about having your own podcast? And I hadn't thought about it at all. Like, I'd always kind of wanted to do something like that, but I never had the direction or the kind of the, you know, I never knew
how to start.
Exactly. I was like, you know what? Yeah. Like, yeah, let's do this. Let's give it a shot. His pitch to me was, you know, I'll give you the platform. We'll promote you. We can't pay you, but you'll have, you know, this will be a good way to kind of learn the business and just start.
And that's critical.
And I'll be forever grateful to Larry. And that's how I started. And for the past 4 months, I've done Our Bleepin' City, which is my podcast every Wednesday, 7 to 8, IE Sports Radio.
Mm-hmm.
But it saved me, because I was at a point where I just didn't, I'd wake up and I didn't really care about anything. I had no direction in my life. I just had nothing really I don't want to make it too dramatic, but almost nothing to live for, nothing to get up to.
That's not being dramatic. That's real.
Yeah, nothing that I was passionate about. And ever since he did that, and I started my podcast, which I think it was probably terrible the first, you know, few weeks or first couple episodes. But I started, as you were saying earlier, the repetition kind of gets you. You know, helps you and gets you improve after some time.
Yeah.
And I started doing it, and I started feeling comfortable, and that's when this all took off. And that's when I said, I want to start. You know, I know I'm not EEI or any of the big stations, but
you got to start somewhere.
I said I want to start meeting these athletes. I don't care if I'm not a big station. I don't care if the Red Sox, Patriots, will deny me access to, you know, locker room access. I said I'm still going to talk to the athletes, get my content, share it with everybody the way I've been enjoying, but nobody has been able to really see it with me up until now. And it's kind of, it pulled me out of that just really dark place where I was, to where, you know, I'm here now talking to you, someone that I, you know, really admire and enjoyed your work. And it just the mental health of just that, it's like night and day. It's just I can't even put into words like how much it's changed my life to, and just to be where I'm at now, which is, I'm still basically, you know, no one really has heard of me yet, but just mentally, it's just put me in so much of a better place. Therapy too helps.
Oh, it does. As well, no, it does.
I do, you know, I see a therapist as well. And I mean, that's getting your mind right, getting your mental health right is, I think, the first step in anyone that wants to be successful and do what they love. So,
yeah,
it was nice to hear your story, because I felt like I could relate in a lot of ways to it.
Yeah, like, and I'm grateful that you took the time to just to share your story, because when you said that, it was like, no, I've been in that dark place too.
Yeah,
I know what that feels like. Mm-hmm. I do. And the thing that I look at more than anything, especially from my time here in Boston, is that I've definitely have been in those very dark places mentally more than anyone can ever like realize or know. But what I will tell you is this: what helped me through it, number one, my faith. That's number one. Number two, the people that are in my village. And the people in my village, they have been so instrumental in more ways than one. I'm talking about not just only my immediate family, but I'm talking about the people that I've met here that are now
like family.
No, they are family.
Yeah, okay, I like.
They're that. Not. Yeah. They're not like. No, they are family.
Yeah.
And I think about this because, as again, this is last day here, and I'm just now really taking the time to just really just show my appreciation to so many people who've impacted me in more ways than one, and starting with like Bob Soucy of 98.5 The Sports Up. Just thank you from the bottom of my heart. I'm going to make sure I reach out to him probably later today or something. But thank you from the bottom of my heart for just being unbelievable to me for these last 4 years. And to the people who I've been fortunate to have had build personal, meaningful relationships with, who have become family. And then also, there are people here at the station who have really become meaningful to me in more ways than one, especially from when I first started. I think of, as I said, DJ Pete is definitely one of them. Another one for me is Kirsten. She's another one. She does a phenomenal show on Saturday mornings from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Something About the Women. Mike Newman, who does his show on Saturday mornings from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., Mike on the Mic. Vincent Magazzini is another one. Acoustic Ceiling, Saturdays from 4 to 5. When my show was on Saturdays in 2019, early 2020, his show would be before mine, and I would always see him, and I would always be like, hey, what's going on? Talk it up, and then recently, I would say, recently within the last several months, I would say, Dance Music Express, DJD, him and I, we've developed a really good friendship here, and as well as just so many people that I've been fortunate to build such awesome relationships with, and I talked about this, but I'm going to talk about it here. A thing that I'm going to miss most about being here in Boston is not just so much the city itself. The city itself is amazing. It's just truly incredible. but it's the relationships that I've built here. That is what I'm going to miss the most. And I'm starting to understand why. And it's, and I'm really going to let it hit me. Like, why, when people have said that, you know, you don't, I don't think you really understand the magnitude of what you're doing. And in terms of just not just the decision, but as well as just the impact. And for a while, I'll be honest with you, Mike, I pushed it away.
Yeah.
Really pushed it away, because again, as I say this, the people who listen, who people who actually really know me, and I'm not talking about through social media.
Yeah.
I'm talking about people who actually know me in my personal life, know that, again, I'm very humble. I'm like, just kind of like pushed away. Like, no, it's not about me. It's not about me.
Yeah.
But I do believe it's very important to give people the flowers before they die.
Yeah.
You have to. Well, you have said. To show people that have impacted you in more ways than one their flowers before they depart this world.
I like that.
And for me, my parents, especially my mom, who, and she's probably going to kick my ass, and it's totally fine, but she's practically listened to every show that I've ever done here. Wow. Yeah. And she, in more ways than one, has really been the MVP of my life. Always, but I'm talking especially these last 6.5 years. In more ways than one, I'm not here, and I'm not where I am without her.
Same with me and my mom.
And if people knew, and people who don't know her, but people who do know her know that just how incredible she is. And I sit here today and I'm grateful. I'm just grateful that she's been a part of every single indelible journey. And as I sit here doing my last show here, there's one person who is no longer part of this journey and did not get the chance to live to at least know about it. It is my late Uncle Reese, who died just 2 years ago. And I'm trying not to get choked up because I remember about a week or two after the first show I did here, I'm standing across the street. I'm on a three-way conversation between my mom and my late Uncle Reese, and I'll never forget just the sheer joy that he had, and how much that meant to me then, and it still means to me to this day. And he said something that deeply resonated with me then, and it still resonates with me now. A lot of people don't even get the chance to start, and you did.
Mm.
And that hit me on so many different levels.
He's still watching over you.
And in more ways than one, I'm not, as I said, there are people in my life who deserve their flowers. And again, this is a day and a time and a show to just express that, and to just talk about the time in Boston, the time the people who I've been fortunate to cross paths, whether if it's as I mentioned, Bob Soucy, Tony Mass of 98.5 The Sports Hub is another one who I've developed a really good relationship with.
Really?
Christian Arcan, who's really, really become really one of my really good friends in the industry. Just so many more. And then Joe Murray is another one.
Mm.
Recently, just 2 months ago, finally got named the full-time nighttime host of 98.5 The Sports.
That's awesome.
Up.
I love that dude.
And he's been instrumental more than people know.
Really?
He really has. And just so many. And with about roughly maybe 10 minutes remaining, I just want to simply say this. And I want to share with you this heartfelt advice to you, Mike, and whoever that is listening. My advice to you is this. Find your voice. Remember who you are and drown out the noise. Remember who you are. Find your voice and remember who you are. Because what you're going to learn is the more that you do what you do, whatever that is, the better you're going to get. And the better that you get at it, you're going to have haters.
Yeah.
Learn to take that as a badge of honor.
Mm.
Because it's a great thing to have.
Yeah.
Because if you don't have haters, you're not at that level yet.
Yeah.
Embrace it fully. Mm. And try to enjoy the journey. And I think that's the one regret that I do have, that's the only regret that I do have, is that I've been so hard on myself for so long to be great that I didn't, and there are times that I did not take the time to just step back, just soak it in.
Yeah.
And I think that in itself is just, it's everything, because you learn to remember and appreciate all the things that come along your way. The good and the bad, because they don't come without the other.
Sure.
It's part of it.
Mm.
But when it does come,
it's gratifying.
It's gratifying, but you train yourself to just embrace it.
Yeah.
I'm not sitting here today if I didn't go through the trials and the tribulations that I've gone through. I'm not sitting here today if I don't have the support in the love from the people that I have.
Yeah.
I'm not sitting here today if I don't have the stories and the experiences of all that I've gone through here.
Mm.
Whether if it was bouncing from job to job,
yep,
in the beginning of 2017 after I first moved here, going through long stretches without having a full-time job, not knowing how to get started in this industry, to finally getting my own radio show, living through and surviving a global pandemic,
yeah,
starting my own podcast, and then starting, you know, doing my own content in the spring of 2021, and that taking time into for that to really explode, and then along with that, going through homelessness, and then being able to, as well as find the strength and remembering who you are along those dark times, and let that help shape and mold your character. Because at the end of the day, that's what you got, and that's all you really got. Because you could be, as people have said this, and I'm not really a fan of it, but people have said, oh, sure, you're a celebrity, you're famous. I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm just a regular dude.
Yeah.
I just happen to have a tremendous platform that I've been blessed with. I don't think myself as someone who's famous.
Yeah.
Am I well known? Sure, maybe. I don't think. Yeah. But point is, your character is who you are, especially what you do when the lights ain't on.
Mm.
That's a big part of it.
Sure.
And Mike, you're gonna do great things. You have to continue to find ways to get better.
Yeah.
Don't stop doing what you're doing now. You may not have the views or the likes, but keep making content.
Sure.
You may not have the followers or anything like that just yet, but keep making content. You may not have the traction on social media just yet, but keep making content. You may not have the following that you hope for just yet, or may not have the desired outcome that you that you may want just yet, but keep putting in the work. Keep grinding.
Yeah.
Because at some point, with the power of social media and number one above all else, God,
yeah,
is going to open those doors for you.
Sure.
And continue to be great. And always remember who you are, and remember the voice that you have. If nothing else from the show that you take from today, hope that you take that with you as well.
I want to ask you before the time's up.
Yeah.
What's next for you?
Everybody's going to find out in very short order.
Okay.
I've been very, very quiet.
Yeah.
Very quiet about it. But I do know this. I will not be the Bruins writer and reporter for the Hockey News as of September 1st. Someone is going to be taking over.
Okay.
And I'm excited for that person.
Yeah.
But what's coming next, everyone will know.
Okay.
Everyone will know when.
I know. I've been like dying
when, to know. When the time is right and when it does happen, God willing.
Do you have an idea of what it's going to be, or do you already know?
I'm not talking about it.
Okay.
I'm not going to talk about it.
Yeah.
But while I am still here, I want to give someone an opportunity to share their words and their thoughts just real quick. A good friend of mine who just hopped into this to his seat, DJD. Good morning to you. Thank you for like everything, for all of the Wednesday mornings that we've shared together. And just wanted to say thank you. You're a rock star at what you do, and I mean that sincerely. Yeah, thank you.
You're more than welcome. It's been great. We have a great, great transition. The stuff we do together, it's unbelievable. In fact, I got him all set up. He's going to kick my show off. He doesn't know it yet.
Oh, my gosh.
He's giving up the sports thing. He's going to Dance Music Express with me.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
That's the big secret. Right on.
I know he's got the dance moves. So.
Oh, man.
Oh, my God.
But go ahead.
No, it was just great. Great. It's been a great transition. Great. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you look a little teary eyed. What's going on? Talk to me.
Hold on 1 minute. Now you got me all worked up.
What? Why? I'm trying to think like what did I miss? But with about maybe a little less than 2 minutes left, I can't really see behind my head, but I do know. Give me 1 second. Yeah, I appreciate that, DJD. And this has been unreal. This has been really unbelievable these last 4 years here. This journey has been truly special. And I'm going to use these last few minutes to really share a heartfelt message to you, to the city of Boston, to the Boston sports fans who will follow me on social media across Twitter and TikTok. And we're talking well in the tens of thousands of people, if many more, that have watched my content over the last couple of years. This heartfelt message is for you as I bid farewell. I want to say thank you to every single person who has interacted with me in person, for those that have supported me in my journey, and to everyone who has taken the time to just listen to what I have to say. Because you got to understand the one thing about social media.